From the start of the year 5752, it was clear that it would be an exponentially unique one. The amount of hours that the Rebbe spent in the presence of Hasidim distributing things and reciting sichos in numbers that far surpassed anything seen in the years prior, and the extraordinary focus on the imminent coming of Mashiach. As the year went on, especially upon reaching the month of Adar Rishon, it seemed clear that the Rebbe was working tirelessly to counterbalance something negative, as he demanded an increase in joy to nullify all undesirable things, as well as strongly emphasizing the need for every Jew to be physically healthy and strong. On Purim Katan, the Rebbe stood for hours and handed a copy of the Maamar Va'atah Tetzaveh edited by the Rebbe to thousands of men, women, and children, along with a dollar for tzedakah and lekach. The Maamar speaks at length about the function of a Rebbe to connect Yidden with Hashem, and the need for Messias Nefesh even when Jews are free from persecution, but find themselves in a different kind of exile, a time when godliness is not visible. As it would turn out, this Maamar was the last one we would merit to receive from the Rebbe. Less than 2 weeks later, on Monday, the 27th of Adar Rishon, the Rebbe visited the Eyal. After standing on his holy feet, davening for the Jewish people, reading the letters of thousands requesting his brachos and advice, the Rebbe had a stroke, to the shock and pain of the entire world. The day marks the onset of Helen Vehester that continues to this day, where we no longer see and hear the Rebbe. This is a time when the words of Atat Tzavah HaDonasi Hadar gives us the strength to carry on and fulfill our mission even in the darkest gullus takes on a whole new meaning. As we stand firm in our kashas and follow the path the Rebbe set out for us in these sichas and mamar, today we present the stories and recollections of some of the Hasidim who experienced those precious moments of the final months leading up to Chav Zayin Adar in the Rebbe's presence.
It's very hard to speak about that period of time, even just saying the date. Chav Zayin Adar brings a shudder. It's hard to think that we're holding where we're holding today, so many years later. Just a few short thoughts about the period of time leading up to that time. One of the things that stands out in my mind is that the Rebbe was constantly looking for opportunities to be with Chassidim. Dollars so often after davening, Ma'ariv, Siches, surprise Siches, the giving out of Kontraisim for hours on end, the Sunday dollars was many, many hours at that time. It was almost clear that the Rebbe was looking for opportunities to be with the Chassidim and to connect individually with each Chassid. We all know about Sukkis, Tavshin Nun Beis, on the first day when the Rebbe stood for hours and hours to watch every Chassid going by to shake the Rebbe's lulav and esrig. One of the things that really stick out in a special way from the Rebbe's interactions was when the Rebbe would give out coins. Now, I don't think I appreciated it as much when I was a child, but as I got older and I thought about it more, the Rebbe would often give out coins when the Rebbe would go to the Ohel or to the Mikveh, which became very often in the time leading up in the last few years, and became sometimes very often, it could sometimes be a few days in 1 week that the Rebbe goes to the Ohel in that tkufa, in that period. I'm also mincha on Friday afternoon. I remember the Rebbe would often give out coins. Azei gedenkt sich mir. So I got coins sometimes. The Rebbe was by the mikveh or going to the Ohel, but primarily what I remember was in these times by mincha, before mincha of Friday afternoon. And the Rebbe would give out the coins. The Rebbe didn't drop the coin in my hand. I'm assuming that's the way it was by everybody. The Rebbe placed the coin in my hand. Ad kedei kach, that sometimes I could feel the Rebbe's fingernails touching the palm of my hand when the Rebbe put in the coin. The Rebbe didn't drop it in, the Rebbe gave it to you, put it in your hand. You know, there was certain dramatic, if you want to call it, events that happened with me and the Rebbe over the years after Tov Shenun. There are a few stories that I could say, but it was, I think, primarily the small interactions that the Rebbe gave me, the Rebbe gave us. It pushed, it went in deep. It took over my whole being. It formed who I am today in every way. And I think the more I could think about it, the more I could make it more a part of me. Whether it was the way the Rebbe gave me the coins, the way the Rebbe would almost always, when the Rebbe would come into shul, give a special idud, a special encouragement with the hand, dafke to us, and the many other things. There was such a warm and close connection that I felt to the Rebbe as a little kid. Pushed from every moment of being by the Rebbe.
As thousands flocked to 770 for Sunday dollars, the line continued to grow longer and longer. The Rebbe would be standing on his feet, giving out dollars for more than 4 hours straight. At times, this would extend past sunset, and therefore, in the winter of Tov Shenun Beis, a small minyan was arranged for the Rebbe to daven mincha in the Gan Eden HaTachton antechamber, just outside the Rebbe's room, before the start of the dollars distribution. On Sunday, the 14th of Shvat, being a guest from Eretz Yisrael, where I was a shliach in the Yeshiva Teres Emes, I merited to be included in the select few that were present at one of these especially unique occasions. It was one of the closest, most intimate moments that I had the opportunity to experience with the Rebbe. There were exactly 10 of us, crammed into that small space, standing only a few feet away from the Rebbe. It was completely silent. One could hear a pin drop. I was even able to hear the Rebbe saying the words of davening. It was very special. Shortly after Mincha, the Rebbe entered the main entrance room in the lobby of 770 to start distributing dollars. As he took his place at the special shtender, he suddenly began an unexpected short sicha regarding Erev Rosh Hashanah L'Ilonos, which would start that evening. And this was something totally out of the ordinary. All in all, it was a most extraordinary experience.
Every Sunday, 770 was packed with thousands of people of all ages and walks of life standing in line for a short moment with the Rebbe near the entrance of his room, where he stood for hours on end distributing dollars for tzedakah. Over the week, word would spread about some of the conversations that the Rebbe had had out that Sunday, and there would be lots of discussions amongst the Bachrim about them. We would also wait for the transcripts in the weekly Beis Chayenu to be printed, and the highlights of videos from WLCC. Sometimes there were things said that we didn't understand, and only later, or very much later, did we have the aha moment where we could see the Rebbe's foresight. With each dollar, to each person, the Rebbe would wish a bracha v'hatzlacha. And then some would ask for a specific bracha or advice. At times, I was fortunate to be behind someone who spoke to the Rebbe, and I watched them up close as the Rebbe conversed with him. As Bacharim, we wouldn't speak to the Rebbe or expect to receive a smile. The relationship that we felt was one of expectation. That itself was a kiruv, as we felt we were part of the Rebbe's close circle of Chassidim. The bracha and the Rebbe's holy gaze was enough to accomplish what it needed to. It was a serious moment, usually reserved for your birthday or before traveling. There was aim of the yira every time we went by. Even before you reached the Rebbe's shtenda, the Rebbe already began looking at you and through you. Many recall how the moment itself could have felt like a few long minutes, only to realize when seeing the video that the whole episode was just a few seconds. That's how powerful it was. When the Rebbe started distributing dollars after Mincha and Ma'ariv more frequently during the week, I wasn't sure if or how often I should go by. I remember my mashpia telling me that a moment with the Rebbe should be a meaningful one, and he suggested that each time I go by, I should undertake a hachlata to solidify its impact, and that's what I did. Whenever I went to the Rebbe, I took upon myself to learn a maimer or tanya by heart.
On Chav Gimel Adar Rishon, Tashin and Beis, 4 days before Chazayin Adar, and I was only chasen on that day. I was in Ganei Natachin waiting for the Siddur about 11:30 in the morning. Rabbi Groner told me exactly where to stand, which was right across from the door. And then, while I was standing there, Rabbi Groner went in. When he opened up the door, I saw something that I was so surprised at, my eyes were not used to seeing, that I didn't realize what it was till the door closed. And that is that the Rebbe was sitting opposite the door in a folding chair by a folding table, and he was leaning back. He was in his shirt, and his yarmulke was to the side, and his glasses were all the way down. And he had a large sefer that he was holding on top. He was holding the top of the sefer with his hand, and the bottom was in his lap, and the middle was leaning on the table. And it was a large sefer, either Shulchan Aruch or a Gemara, or maybe a Rambam. And just my own hergish was that the Rebbe was completely engrossed in what he was learning at that time. The Zrokin Welt was like nothing. And it was with such a tiny atzmi that the Rebbe was being a kabul. And I just think to myself, now I wish every chassid should see the Rebbe in such a way. I don't know why, but there are no pictures, clear pictures of the Rebbe learning. And all the pictures and videos that we see the Rebbe is doing and working and being mashpia, and every chassid, I think, is full of good in hearts and to see the Rebbe like this. The Rebbe is being makabel b'tayne gatzmi from the Torah. Just the whole tnuas haguf was just beautiful for me to see how the Rebbe is pashut enjoying the learning of the Torah.
The year Tov Shinun Beis, 1992 and the end of 91, was a very special, unique year by the Rebbe. I was already in Shlichus in Alaska, but I had the schus and the merit to come to see the Rebbe twice, first in Chedesh Cheshvan, Shabbos Neach, and then again in Chav Beis Shvat. The first time we came in Tov Shinun Beis was to marry off a balabos from Alaska. Then the second time we came to New York was for Chav Beis Shvat, for the Kinnus HaShluchas, and we were there for all week. And one of the most outstanding things that happened that week was, and this was happening from after Tishrin and Beis until Chav Zayin Adar, that when we were by the Rebbe that week and a half, from Chav Beis Shvat, from before Chav Beis Shvat until Chav Ches Shvat, the Rebbe gave dollars every day, and the Rebbe said a sicha almost every day. There were maybe a day that Rebbe didn't say a sicha. And some of the sichas were maybe just 5 minutes. And some of the dollars were maybe just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But the Rebbe said a sicha and gave dollars almost every day. Dollars he gave every day in that 10 days we were there. And this was so unusual, so like I mean, this was never happened before, that the Rebbe should give dalas every day. The Rebbe should, not only the Rebbe daven mida elam every day, but the Rebbe and said sichas almost every day. This was like, you saw how the Rebbe was trying to be with the chassidim and invest in the chassidim. I mean, later, after Chof Zayin Adar happened, we kind of started to figure out, because we didn't understand, why is this happening? Or the Rebbe Chof Beis Shva, the Rebbe gave lekach to everyone. When in the world the Rebbe gave lekach in the middle of the year, in the middle of the winter? Lekach you give, Erev Yom Kippur. That's it. In all the 40 years, the Rebbe gave lekach, Erev Yom Kippur. To give lekach in the middle of the winter, Chof Beis Shvat. The Rebbe gave a bill of $5 to everyone, because with the Rebbe's name, Chomesh, which is the Rosh Hashanah of Chaim Mishka Shneerson. So, what we saw from the Rebbe at that time, and you have to understand, this was 10 days we were there, people had simchas, people had opshernish, people had sheva brachas, whatever the simcha was. There was an alarm, the Rebbe is saying a sicha, the old Kranheitz, the chosen, the kala, the mechutanim, the old Kranheitz is running to 770 and to listen to the sicha and to get dalas. There was such a fire of iskashras that the Rebbe literally connected to the chassidim in such a strong way. Which now, after Chof Zayin Adar, we understood that the Rebbe was investing and planting in us the such koiches that we should be able to continue after Chof Zayin Adar and after Gimel Tammuz until the Bias HaMashiach, which will happen soon, literally in our days. But the Rebbe was planting in each one of us, and this happened with the dalas, this happened to Kotresim, and more than that, the Rebbe was like, when the children, you saw when the little babies go by. Remember when I was holding my children and going with them to dalas or to the Kotresim, the Rebbe was making sure that every child, even the little baby, he looked in their eyes and he waved till they looked up. The Rebbe invested in every little kid. The Rebbe used to go in to the shul, to daven, he would make with his hand to the little kids who were standing there. And he almost like looking special to them. A two-year-old was standing, a toddler. The Rebbe was making with the hand to the toddler, looking at the toddler. And now, after Chof Zayin Adar, you realize that this toddler today is a father or a mother, and is in Shliches, and is a Chassid from Rebbe, and the Rebbe invested in that child and planted in him the Koiches to be able to continue. And that's what the Rebbe did with the entire Anash. I mean, if everyone knows the famous story that happened on Sukkot, how the Rebbe stood there by the Lulav and Esrog for hours and hours till everyone, thousands and thousands of people, made the broch in front of the Rebbe, which never happened before, that the Rebbe should do it. The Rebbe should stand there and wait for so many hours, and the Shachris was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which all of those things, when you put them all together, you see how the Rebbe prepared us and invested in us and planted in us the Koiches that we should be able to continue with the strongest kashas to the Rebbe until the coming of Mashiach.
In Tishrei of Tavshin and Beis, it was a Seluch Tishrei. Every year Tishrei became bigger and bigger crowd. After Tishrei, I decided that although I have to open my store about 9:30, I will wait till the Rebbe comes in. So I will be after davening in my coat, waiting under the Rebbe shul, almost by the Mizrach wall, not too far from about 10 feet, 15 feet away from the Mizrach wall. There's a lot of column there. I have the same spot every day. Wait till the Rebbe came in, and he walked up to his place for davening, and I would then leave to work, and that would make my day. What was made of these dudes, I don't know. Then, I'll never forget, on Chof Zayin, or that I believe it was. That morning, I did what I did every morning, and the Rebbe came in, and when he attempted to go up the steps, he missed the first step, and he had to retake it. And it was very painful to see, very hard to absorb. And that night, happened what happened.
Our lives and schedules revolved around the Rebbe. There was a hotline to call that would update us on if the Rebbe had returned from the Ayel and when Mincha Maariv would take place. Many times we would just wait in 770. The atmosphere was always filled with excitement and anticipation. Nothing else mattered to us other than seeing and hearing the pure holiness that shone in the Rebbe's presence. Sometimes, especially when the Rebbe would return from the Ayel later in the evening, there was only a small crowd present for Maariv. These were such sweet, precious moments with our Rebbe. We all felt such a closeness, and that the Rebbe knew and recognized each one of us personally. No matter how many long hours we would be standing on our feet, there was always a sense of longing every time the Rebbe left the room. I never wanted the moment to end.
At times, Bachram may have felt that the opportunities for personal relationship with the Rebbe, the likes of which were common in earlier years with private yechidus, seemed lost due to the enormous growth of the Lubavitch community. But when the Rebbe started distributing dollars weekly, every person again had the opportunity for a one-on-one personal moment with the Rebbe every single week, if they wished. From that moment on, especially into the year Tavshin Nun Beis 5752, the amount of distributions of this kind, public appearances, as well as sichas and edited Torah from the Rebbe, doubled and tripled from anything we'd ever seen before. Just the simple shachris with the Rebbe every morning was incredible, and the whole week I'd be counting the days left until Shabbos for the Rebbe's Verbrengen. The sichas said that year were absolutely remarkable. Some of my appreciation for this is in hindsight, but the Rebbe spoke of incredibly powerful, novel ideas and showed us how to open our eyes to see the world in a new way. It was extraordinary how much the Rebbe poured and invested in us. As someone who didn't grow up in Crown Heights, when I finally came to 770, I did not take these moments for granted, and I can't think of anything greater in this world.
The Rebbe would begin the Verbrengen, as everybody knows, approximately 1:30 p.m. The last few years, there was a Verbrengen every Shabbos and Stav Shemam Ches. Already before that, the Verbrengens were ready much more often than in the earlier years, where it was usually only Shabbos Mavarchim and Yom Pagra. The last few years, it was much more often, but after Chav Beis Shvat Tav Shemam Ches, it was every Shabbos a Verbrengen. The Rebbe would come down approximately 1:30 in the afternoon. The Rebbe would sit down at his place, and usually he would glance at the crowd for a second, for a moment. As he was sitting down, he took a look. And then the Rebbe would, take his becher and wipe it out, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and put it on the plate, and then move it to the Rebbe's right side, a few inches, and he would take a look a little bit to his right. And the son of Mashkim was Harav Mordechai Mentlik Zecherna Levracha. He would come over and take it to fill it up with wine. And when later, after his petida, it was the Betel Yunik Zecherna Levracha. So he would come and take it and fill it up with wine. Once the Rebbe did that, he took a napkin, he put it by his place, and then he would take a few pieces of cake from the teller. There was a kaida with a few pieces of cake. I think it was like marble cake. Soft. I know because when I was a kid, after every Verbrengen, or a lot of Verbrengen, we would go and jump and take the cake and eat it. So this was our Shabbos snack for many years. Until I don't know what happened. I don't know. I think the eunuchs would put the cake into a box because it got pretty wild. But in any case, so I knew what the cake tasted like, at least when I was a kid. So the Rebbe would put a few pieces of cake under a napkin, and then he would open the siddur. He would open the siddur, I believe, to the Kiddush of Shabbos, and start saying Mizmor LaDavid, Askinu Sudasa, V'Shamru Bnei Yisrael Asa Shabbos, Imtashu M'Shabbos Raglecha. That's what it looks like the Rebbe was saying. I mean, I didn't stand up there, so I didn't see. I stood by the shvil, but that's what it looked like, and that's what they said. And then the Rebbe would finish, and he would close the siddur. And at that time, the Rabbi Mentlik or Rabbi Yunek would already bring back the Becher. They would like push it over near the Rebbe. The Rebbe always turned to them and thanked them. If the Rebbe said, Yeshikoyach or Adayink, I couldn't hear, but I always saw that he turned and he nodded with his head, he acknowledged and he thanked them. And then he would take the Becher and lift it up and say the Bracha HaGafen. Did the Rebbe make actual Kiddush? Did he make Kiddush before? There was always a discussion that often the Rebbe made Kiddush before and this was just a HaGafen. So I don't know exactly about that, but... But at least at the outside, the Rebbe picked up the cup and made hagafen, and he drank. And after he drank, the Rebbe would open up the napkin and start eating the cake. At that point, the Olam would start the first niggun. The early years, they had a different niggunim they would start. And then in my years, it was already the Rebbe's kapitel usually, the kapitel of Tehillim. And then I think after Chav Ches Nissen, Tav Shonon Aleph, Zolshin Zayin D'Geyula, Zolshin Zayin D'Geyula. And then a few months later, I remember Reb Kuti Rapp, Olav HaShalom, he got up before the Fabrengen, and he said he spoke to Mashpiyim, and they're going to change the Nigen, Sekumtshin D'Geyula, Sekumtshin D'Geyula. And from then, that's when they started to sing. And I remember the first week, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Rebbe like heard the change, and he gave a nod, and that was the first Nigen. The first niggun would finish, and then the Rebbe would begin the first sicha. Now, in the earlier years, the structures of the Fabrengen was the first sicha usually was on the parsha, the theme of the Yom Tov. The second sicha was usually a hemshech. The third was usually the maimer. And then the second half of the Fabrengen would go over to the Rashi sicha. Zohar, Lekuti Levi Yitzchak on Zohar, Pirkei Avos in the summer months, later Rambam. Very often the Rebbe would be mashlim sugis from previous Fabrengens. And then in those sikhs, the Rebbe would often also speak about Inyana Deyoyme, about the Mevtsoyim to do, about Hachanas for the Yom Tov, about different Hachlotas, different Hatzahs to do, etc. Sometimes there was another sikh about something that's going on in the world. But already in the later years, that wasn't the structure anymore. The whole style of the Fabrengens changed. So usually the first sicha was a topic usually connected to the parsha or the time of the year. There were a few times, especially at the last year, where the Rebbe would suddenly talk about an inyan not connected to the parsha directly or the Yom Tov, but like just a special inyan, like Parshas Mishpatim Tavshin and Beis, the Rebbe spoke about the United Nations, resolution of the United Nations, unbelievable sikh. Parshas Vayeshev that year, the Rebbe spoke about the French Revolution and the spiritual French Revolution. In fact, the first sikh was in French. That was absolutely unique. That was Vayeshev Nun Beis. The style of the sikhs the last years were much, much more bekitzer, very, very concise. And the Rebbe didn't spend time building a structure of the Sikha Reish Toich Soif like in the earlier years. In fact, sometimes it took a lot of extra effort to be able to follow along, because the Rebbe could go from theme to theme, from sugi to sugi, from inyan to inyan, and each inyan just do a few words and then right away go off to another topic. It was not easy to follow, not easy to remember, not easy to understand the chut hashani, the pervasive thread. You had to work very, very hard. A common phrase of the Rebbe in last years was "Kemeduber behisvadus shalifneza," or "Kemeduber behisvaduyas shalifneza," or "Kemeduber b'shanim shalifneza," or "Kemeduber b'shanim hachreinus." Meaning, we've spoken about this in the previous Fabrengen, in previous Fabrengens, in previous occasions, in previous years, indicating that the Rebbe was building on all of this. In other words, that the in-depth explanations of the things that he spoke about was in the past. The Rebbe was always referenced that. Another very common phrase was va'oid v'iker, or va'oid v'hua iker. Va'oid v'hua iker. The themes that the Rebbe spoke about, I would say, were some of the deepest, lefia niyaz daiti and lefia what we understood, but the themes themselves were some of the deepest and most original ever revealed throughout the years. The Rebbe constantly spoke about tuning in to the Eir HaGeula. Spoke constantly about Mashiach and Geula. Not only gave brachas for it, but he connected everything to the concept and to the theme of Geula. He introduced and taught people to breathe and live with the consciousness of Geula, Yechidah Shebenefesh, Yechidah L'Yachdach, Achdus Hashem, complete unity between Creator, creation, Yidin and Hashem, heaven and earth. It was uplifting. The completest Hapchen, Birur of the world, the transformation of the world, the transformation of Klal Yisrael, the transformation of Golus into Geula. Parshas Vayakel was the last Fabrengen. The last Fabrengen was Parshas Vayakel Chaf Hei Adar Aleph Tavshin Nun Beis. I'll never forget that Fabrengen, especially the fact that the Rebbe spoke much louder and longer than he usually did that year. And the Sichas, especially the first Sicha, had some of the, I would say, the Mivneh, the structure of the build-up. And the expansion, the expansiveness, reminiscent of previous years, somewhat. I remember noticing it, then I even told somebody, Mitzvah Shabbos Vayakel, that it was a different type of Fabrengen. The Rebbe spoke much louder. The Rebbe, like, it was, even in Das Tachten, it was more mesuder, and built, and structured. It was really a beautiful, beautiful Fabrengen. I still remember the first sicha was, I don't remember exactly, but probably 50 minutes, maybe even an hour, which was very, very rare in those years. Very rare. The sichas were much shorter. Of course, 2 days later was Chav Zayin Adar Aleph. To say one vart from that Vayakel, the Rebbe spoke a lot about the inyan of Moida Ani Lefanecha. And the Rebbe said, L'chayre, it should have started off, Ani Moida Lefanecha. Because when you wake up, the first thing is Ani. And the Rebbe said, no, because when a Jew is awake, so there could be a Yitzhahara and a Nefesh HaBahamas, when you're sleeping, you're not conscious. So Mela, the Pnimius comes out. And what's the Pnimius of a Yid? The Rambam and Hilchas Gerish, and a Yid Viltan Alam Mitzvahs, L'Srachik Manaveres, Rambam and Hilchas Gerish, and Pedig Beis. So Mela, when a Jew comes out of his sleep, it's right away, he's in a state of Moida. And then there's the Inyan of Ani. And this was connected to the whole Inyan of Ayakal before Pkudeh. Vayakal is the klal, Pkudeh is the prat, Vayakal is the bittel, Pkudeh is how the bittel permeates the mitzias. And you start off with moide, you have to know the lechatchila, you're completely connected, yechidah leyachdach. So the Rebbe said, so during your sleep, because all the clippers, the shells are not there, because a person is asleep, so mele, you don't know all the machshavas, and all the machshavas, who I am and who I'm not, you're not self-conscious. So but mele, the pnimius gets in this galah, and the pnimius is yechidah leyachdach, like the Rambam says in Hilchas Gerich, and so mele, in a sleep, the Jew is in that matzav. So then the Rebbe remembered, he said, V'oidvu v'yikir, it's the Zeit zu aufchappen sich von Schlaf. V'oidvu v'yikir, it's the Zeit zu aufchappen. Now is the time to wake up. I'm saying, if when you wake up, you say, Moida ani lefanach. The Rebbe says, Halfen, we should experience Teire Chadosh, Meiti Teitze, Yomola Ha'aretz Deyes Hashem Kamayim Le'yamachasim.
We thank all of the guests for sharing their experiences with us. May we merit the coming of Mashiach when we will reunite with the Rebbe and experience these precious moments once more. Tekef umiyad mamash.